I spent many years advocating on behalf of poets and poetry, serving as an editor, as a printer, as a publisher. Now that I'm out of that world, it's amazing how many friends I don't have. It's astonishing. I mean, it's breathtaking. But the poet friends that I do have, I really value in a different way, much more deeply. One of the up-and-coming poets in this country that I admire the most is with us tonight. That's Ian's wife, Jennifer. Her new poems, her new book of poems will be out, what, February? Get this book. What's the title? This book will take your breath away. This is the real stuff. And it's nice to not to have to be polite to poetry that I don't really admire. And it's especially wonderful to find people like Jennifer who make me feel young and enthusiastic about poetry again. That's not an easy task, I'll tell you. Children of the marketplace, of which I am one. They come out of nowhere, the sad-eyed, pleading children of the streets. They come bearing shoplifted socks, small notebooks, pens, anything, even just a card that pleads for change, a peso so they can eat. From our lunch spot under the grand acacia trees, we say, no, gracias, wondering if a coin encourages thievery or whether any of them will ever learn to read. Or we make a gift of some small change when one rushes to open the door of a cab we've flagged. No, gracias, to the old woman selling wilting roses on the street, wondering what life has she whose children learn to pick a pocket, to moan for some relief in a world without regrets, a world of need. We watch a pregnant girl drag her heavy cart through busy traffic on the street, sorting through the trash, salvaging old cardboard, plastic bottles, a board, a brick, old newsprint, almost anything that ordinary trash provides. Her work is hard, her face a mask of grief the marketplace can't hide. In Seattle's Pioneer Square, it's a wrinkled face asking for a dollar for the newspaper of the homeless, news of that other marketplace where human life, degraded or self-abused, comes cheap. It's the same in Caracas, Mumbai, New York City, or Saigon. The world is one. Who knows what's wrong or right? Whose coin will go for suicidal wine and whose for mercy in a shelter for the night? The young, the old, for them there is no sense of time, no past remembered, no thought of what tomorrow brings. The marketplace is full of things. Sweet samsara. For those of you who may not know, samsara is the cycle of birth and death. In the vocabulary of the damned, the rich have their own special hell. It's lined with silk and ringed with gold, and none of it can be owned. Got a little taste of that in the election the other night, didn't we? Think of all those $1 billion spent on the fascisti who got voted down. It's the first nice thing to happen in this country in a very long time. The descent. The old borough ascends the steep, narrow cobblestone street with his load of firewood, his feet in their own way as sure as Fred Astaire's. His master whistles softly and strokes his rump as they turn and disappear. I brought to San Miguel a load of grief I thought no human heart could bear. Walking down to El Jardín, I counted 34 chimes of the church bell as the sun began to set below the clouds. They say each tolling is a prayer. If there is a heaven for burros somewhere, I pray the gods will send me there. For who could bear an eternity of angels, saints, and bells? Give me good tequila with a friend in a fine hotel that was a nunnery in its day. I step unsurely, one foot in heaven, one in hell. A visitation. I wake suddenly in the middle of the night and realize I'm stroking the pillow beside me, dreaming of my wife who is 6 months dead. I rise and brush my teeth and pour a stiff drink and go out into the garden to sit on the old iron bench and think. It's after midnight and the moon is almost full. And after a long silence, I hear faintly a woman's heels chink, chink, chink against the ancient cobblestone beyond the garden wall as she makes her way down the street. Elegy in San Miguel. Under a grand old jacaranda, I sit in an iron chair, feet propped up on the balcony rail, watching this winter sun sink slowly below the mountains far across the desert floor as the lights of San Miguel come on and a church bell slowly tolls. By dark, the December moon is high and full. Somewhere half the world away, a small boy is weeping for his mother and watching with his father as first light breaks over mountains across another desert floor. Their eyes and ears are fixed on their horizon for the first signs of the oncoming drone that will blow their lives to dust. They have escaped it several times before. And I, having attended my dying wife just months ago, share in their tears, if not in their fear. Grief makes one family of us all. Slowly I rise and go inside and dry my eyes again. Being, the Buddha said, is agonizing for us all. And I know this world of endless war is mother of all our stillborn dreams and hopes, but also of our will to live and dream again, although we are strangers on every shore, to live despite enormous odds, to love again, even as deeply as before. Border Song. Sometimes I like to read the poets of the borderlands, some in English, some to wrestle slowly from their native tongue, my scant Spanish failing at each turn the gists and piths of poetry. There are images, there are tones that cross the rivers of time and space and cultural bounds to touch the heart of one who struggles in the journey. Poetry is made of flesh and bone. What is a nation? What is our song? And what is a man, a woman, but a tear and a smile? Un abrazo fuerte, por favor, tender and temporal, wine in the cup, a song in the ear, when the struggle itself is everything. It is what we know and what we have to work with. Bare hands, dreams that restore big hungry hearts and minds made whole by what we share. Mi pane, mi agua, mi canto amor.